trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust.
Yes, Lord, that's what you are expecting of us, trusting and obeying, and full possession of our inheritance is based on our level of trust and obedience, O Lord. That's why your children came this morning to submit, to surrender any part of their life which is not yet under the submission of you, the leader, under the submission of the word. Let now that we are approaching you this morning, O Lord, we came as insufficient beings. We came because you are all sufficient. We came because there's still so much of ourselves in us, O Lord. There's still so much of our own ambitions leading and guiding our actions, O Lord. That's why we came to surrender, to humble under your feet, O Lord, asking that you give us that submission, that trust, that ability to trust you and to obey, to submit to your will. Heavenly Father, look and you can see in the hearts of your children how they want to help, to serve you, O Lord. How they want to please you, Heavenly Father. But because of this old man still reigning and ruling our actions, O Lord, we are still under that leadership, O Lord. But you say that you want us to be dead completely to that man and to raise in a newness of life where your words take preeminence, O Lord. That's why as we are speaking throughout these weeks about taking out the excess flesh, killing the old man, O Lord, We are coming like Abraham to take our new identity, O Lord, to take up our new name, O Lord, where the old Abraham will be dead, where the old excess flesh will be cut off our lives, O Lord, and you will reign, and there will be an everlasting mark in our body. There will be a lasting sign in our bodies, O Lord, that we are not going back anymore to that old nature. We bless you, we thank you, Lord. Take now control of this service. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Welcome to the house of the Lord. And we greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many are happy to be here today? Amen. This is our tree arena. Amen. This is our croak park. This is our, call it what you like. We should have the same type of joy they feel, even more, when they sing and go now in croak park. You'll see them. Despite the rain, despite all the bad weather we've had all these days, you'll see them sitting them under the rain and singing. Amen. You'll see them singing, 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 praising their stars. But we have the superstar. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So we should feel even more happy to be here. Yeah. Amen. If you don't have that feeling, it's not too late to call upon the name of the Lord and to renew your experience. Amen. So we have been talking about this Abraham's life. Just to bring to our remembrance our walk, our spiritual walk. Because at sometimes, you know, along the way, we become so familiar with coming to church that we forget that we are in a journey and we have an objective to attain. It becomes just a tradition. We come to church, we sing, we go home, we pay our tithes, we are good Christians, but we lose the focus a little bit. So that's why we went through the life of Abraham to remind us what Christian life should be, our own experience, our salvation. Why did God save you? Amen. God's responsibility and your responsibility in this unconditional covenant. It is unconditional, but there are expectations both sides. You are expecting God to guide and protect you. That's why when things are not working, you go back to God and say, God, why is it not working? You can't ask that question if you have no expectations, if you have not entered into a covenant with him. Amen. Him too, when things are not working, he has expectation, is waiting of you. And when you are not reaching those milestones, he has the right to get frustrated. He has the right to hold on to the blessings of the covenant. So that when you'll go and say, but you said, you promised that I will be this, I'll do this. You'll say, yes, I said that, but you don't meet the conditions. You don't meet the requirements, the expectations of the covenant. You are still my child, but I'm not giving you this because you didn't show the character that I need to see in you so that I'm sure that you'll handle that blessing correctly. Amen. So that's why as long as Abraham didn't show the proper character, God gave him some of the blessings, gave him showers of blessings, amen, but not the abundant rain that Abraham was expecting. It's only when he got separated with Lot, some more blessings were released. When he got circumcised, some more blessings were released. When he got a name change, more blessings were released again. Amen. Until to an extent where God couldn't hold anything. To the point God said, should I hide what I'm going to do to Abraham? I can't hide anything because I've seen full surrender. Even my deepest secrets, I'm going to reveal them now to Abraham. Because Abraham has shown the character I need. Amen. So for you to get to that point where God will say, I'm not holding none of the blessings I've kept for this child, for this, my daughter, you need to see that character in you. Amen. Now we saw that Abraham, I promised you that today we are going to talk about Ishmael. Hopefully we'll get there. But there's a few things I wanted to mention before. Abraham came out of his country. God required separation and Abraham obeyed and came out. Amen. He get to a point where God says, this is the land that I'm going to give you. That should have been the end of the story. But because of some economical situation in the country, Abraham, instead of trusting in God, who said, I will give you, and this is the land that your children, your posterity will possess. But because of hunger, because of the economic situation in the country, he left the promised land and went into Egypt. He backslid. Because of some conditions in your life, many times you are called, you are brought to, just not trust anymore in God. Say, no, God said it bless me, but you despise a plan, Say, no. Instead of me staying here, yes, I believe the promise. God said you'll bless me. But I think what God meant was that I should go into Egypt. Because can't you see yourself that if I stay here, we are going to die. There's no water. There's no food. There's no job. Let me go into Egypt. Abraham backslid and went into Egypt. Of course, he got what he wanted. Physically speaking, fleshly speaking, he obtained food, he got money, and the Bible says he came out of Egypt even in more riches. But he was out of the will of God. Yeah. Amen. He was out of the will of God. Though he prospered physically, people could see that Abraham is blessed, but he was out of the will of God. And when he came out of Egypt, not only was blessed with all the cattle, with the gold and the money and everything, but he came dragging with him Agar. Amen. He came dragging Agar with him. My brother, my sister, anytime you make that mistake of going back there in the world, don't expect to come back the way you went. Amen. Don't expect to come back. There will be something you will carry with you from there. Amen. Abraham went believing that, it's fine. Egypt is just across the board here. I'm going and will be fed and I'll be a refugee there. They'll treat me well. Not knowing that you can't come the way you went in. Amen. He came out with some of Egypt with him. Though God said separation, it was fine. He did separate with his land, but along the way, he picked some of the rubbish on the way again and brought with him Agar. And that Agar became a big issue down the line. Whatever you carry from the world, even if it's in its infancy, if you don't break the tie completely, down the line, it will become a big problem. Amen. That Agar became a problem. And it is Agar that brought forth Ishmael. Amen. It was through Agar that Ishmael went, got inside the promise of God. Amen. Because, let's just talk about Ishmael. Because this Ishmael is someone that you may just think it's fine. He was a son of Abraham, but if you pay real attention, you realize that Ishmael was the type of the Antichrist. Amen. Ishmael was the type of, because you have Christ and the Antichrist, twins. Amen. The prophet says there's always twin in every revival. In the Abraham's and the Sarah's church, it brought forth twins. Christ and his Antichrist. Ishmael and Isaac. Amen. And if you go through the church ages, the prophet shows us the development, the process of the manifestation of the Antichrist. He says, the Antichrist started very innocently, which was called in the first church age, the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Amen. That was the beginning of the manifestation of the Antichrist. It was just deeds. It was not something big. It was just an arrangement. Let's do this. Let's do that. And how did Ishmael begin? It was just deeds. Let's go into Egypt. That was as simple as that. That's the beginning of Ishmael. An idea. Let's go into Egypt. We're going to have a good life there. Let's organize this well. Let's organize this lie, you know. We go there, we'll say, you are my sister. They'll give us a good place to live. It was just something simple and innocent. But this is the genesis of Ishmael. Yeah. Amen. Then the prophet says, in the next age, it went from deeds to a doctrine. It became not the deeds of the Nicolaitans, but the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Ishmael moved from being just an idea to becoming a doctrine. Because Ishmael was actually a teaching of Sarah to Abraham. Amen. Ishmael was a sermon that Sarah, an interpretation of the word of God, a doctrine that Sarah brought into the church. That God said that he's going to give you a son. But this scripture means that because I am too old to conceive, we have a new doctrine now. That you should go and visit that woman, and through that woman, a child will come. Amen. It went from deeds to doctrine. It became a doctrine that was believed in the church because Abraham believed it. Remember, from something that was very small, let's go into Egypt. Let's bring our, you know, Hagar. In the beginning, the idea was not that Hagar will become a wife to Abraham. It was so innocent. She's just a maid. She's just a helper. She'll be helping us. But the more she remains, the more she stayed attached, some emotional ties started developing between Abraham and Hagar. Amen. Some emotional, some fleshly attachment started developing between Hagar and Abraham. The more you entertain that, sin, those idols you brought from Egypt, believing that it's just something simple, the more you start developing those ties with it, the more it starts becoming very hard for you to separate with it. Amen? It started as a friendship. Maybe in the morning, Abraham will wake up and say, Hagar, how are you? How was your night? Do you still remember your parents in Egypt? It was just a conversation. Hagar will give a nice smile there. Hello, Abraham. You know. But the more they stayed together, Abraham, because I don't believe that the only servant they had, the only woman made they had in their compound was only Hagar. But why did they choose only Hagar? Sarah must have noticed that there's some connection between Abraham and Hagar. And then you go and take her as a woman, as a wife. And the relationship grew up to an extent where a child came out of that relationship. And remember, a relationship where there is a child, it becomes unbreakable. Yeah. Amen. You know that?
Yeah.
When there is a child, no matter, you can go to the court, they will say, you are not husband and wife anymore. But the day that child will be sick, they want to find a compatible liver, they're going to call the father and the mother.
Yeah.
Amen. Even if the child dies, when they want to talk about the story of that child, who was his father, who was his mother, they will mention you together. That type of relationship is unbreakable. And Abraham get to a point where he, you know, a child was born out of his relationship with Hagar. And it was now impossible to break that relationship anymore. Amen. Though God called for a separation, but you're going to put yourself in some type of, alliance that it will become very hard for you down the line in your spiritual walk. It becomes impossible for you to break the ties between Egypt and you because you have got a child with Egypt. Amen. So you need to be very careful. Ishmael, he went from being deeds of the Nicolaitans to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Let's put it this way. The deeds of Ishmael to the doctrine of Ishmael. He became a preaching in the church. And the prophet says in the church ages, the third stage of the Antichrist was his impersonation now. He went from the deeds to a doctrine to a man sitting on a throne. The next stage we'll see an Ishmael, a baby now born. Amen. And it became a big problem in the couple, Abraham and Sarah. Ishmael became a big problem. And remember we said last time, Ishmael was born when Abraham was not circumcised yet. Amen. Ishmael was a child of the uncircumcised Abraham. Isaac was a child of the circumcised Abraham. Ishmael was born when Abraham was still called Abram. Amen. Isaac was a child of the circumcised Abraham. Christ and the Antichrist. Amen. The Antichrist is the fruit of the uncircumcised Abraham. And God wanted all those ties to be cut off completely. Amen. Now, what type of the uncircumcised Abraham, what type of a child did he bring forth? What type of a child you as an uncircumcised believer do you bring forth? Let's read what type of a child Isaac was. Genesis 16:12. It says, 11, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, You are with a child. This is the angel speaking to Hagar. You know, you get so involved in the world that you put even God in trouble. Because God now had to look after Ishmael, which was a false doctrine. But since he's a seed of Abraham, God said, anyway, I need to look after him. You bring so many problems in the church because of your bad conduct that it becomes a problem even to the deacons. It becomes a problem to the pastor because you are still our brother. You go there and do things and they put you in prison. You know, you rob a bank. I say, brother, so-and-so robbed the bank. You bring, you know, reproach on the church. But we won't reject you. We still go to look, you know, to visit you in the jail. And when we go there, people will be pointing at us. You see that church, that robber, this is the pastor. We won't reject you. You are still our sister. We still come to visit you. Though people will mock us, the reproach and everything, you do things that put even God in an uncomfortable situation. God is still now to start blessing Ishmael. Amen. Hagar was there in the wilderness, almost lost, dying. And God said, oh, angel, go and help her. Because she's the seed of Abraham. Amen. He says, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, you are with a child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call him his name Ishmael. Even God himself has to give the name. Because the Lord has heard your affliction. And listen now, the type of a child, the uncircumcised Abraham is bringing forth. He said, he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand will be against him. This is the type of you as an uncircumcised brother so-and-so, or sister so-and-so bring forth. These are the results. These are the fruits, the spiritual fruits that you are bringing forth. A wild man, your hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hands will be against you. That's not the end of it. There's still more to come. And he says, where were we? 16, yeah? Against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of his brethren. Those people, they'll never leave the church. They will remain in the presence of the brother to cause trouble. They will go there when things don't work there. They will quickly come back to church. They will remain in the presence of the brethren to give headaches to the pastor. Amen. That's the type of a child that you bring forth as the uncircumcised Abraham. Causing trouble always, always, always. And they will never go away. You know, communion, they are there. When there's communion, they fix everything. After communion, back to Egypt. Amen. So this is the type of a child you, as the uncircumcised person, you bring forth. But at some stage, Sarah noticed. You know, Abraham became so acquainted, became so emotionally connected to Hagar because Ishmael was between him and Hagar. But Sarah came back and said, Abraham, you remember when we were still in Charan? God said we should separate. God is calling for a separation. But look down the line, we picked this Hagar. And now he brought forth a son. But God's words have never changed. God called us for a separation. Abraham, we need to get separated now. Abraham, you need to separate with Hagar now. Amen. Because Sarah, despite her weakness of bringing this doctrine in the church, But she realized the mistake. She said, no, Abraham, God is calling for a separation. Though we separated with your family and everything down there in Charan, now we need to put this woman away. Was it easy for Abraham? No. It became a problem. Though Sarah got the right revelation, Abraham said, no, Hagar is not going. Abraham, you need to send her away. Abraham said, no. I love this, my sin, so much. This is my favorite sin. You know, believers have favorite sins. And I say, this one, no. This is not a sin, you know. This is just, can you prove me in the Bible? can't you see Hagar, her eyes? She's so beautiful. You have to send her, kick her out. No. She's not going. At some stage, Abraham said, okay. Before Ishmael was born, Abraham said, okay. You know, Abraham, okay, now, actually, it's fine. She's good. I'm going to send her away. He seemed to say, okay, Hagar, you can do whatever you like with her. She can go. She went. You know, there was two times that Hagar left. The first time she went, and she was suffering. It is when the angel, the scripture we have just read there, when the angel came to meet her in the desert. And I don't think Abraham was happy when Hagar left. I don't think he was happy. Maybe he was crying and praying. That's why maybe the angel went. And when he saw Hagar coming back, he said, oh, praise God, she's back. Amen. Because if he didn't want her back, he would have said, go, I don't want to see you here. But when he saw her coming back, he said, please come. She came back. Second time, that one we don't have the time to read it now. If you have the opportunity to go and read, I think it's Genesis 21. Second time, the last separation. That was the hardest of all. Because the Bible says, Abraham didn't want to let go Ishmael. Abraham didn't want to let go Ishmael because it was his son. You get to a point where you are so acquainted with sin that it became a portion of you. Amen. It becomes your favorite boy. You cherish him. But remember, that boy, he became a problem because he wanted now to kill. Remember, we said it is the Christ and the Antichrist. And the aim of Christ is to kill the Antichrist. But the aim of the Antichrist is to kill Christ. Amen. They can't coexist together. Christ and the Antichrist, they are not made to coexist together. Amen. So what did now Isaac start doing to, sorry, Ishmael started doing to Isaac? Sarah was very careful. He noticed at some stage that Ishmael is trying to kill Isaac. Amen. Ishmael is now trying to kill Isaac. That's why you will see Paul say the son of the slave woman was persecuting the son of the free woman. Because Isaac was older than Ishmael. Amen. Your old man is always older than your new birth. Amen. Your old man, your flesh, your first birth is always older than your new birth. And your old man is more comfortable in this land than your new birth. Ishmael was more comfortable in the land than Isaac. Isaac was still in his infancy, crawling, you know, still a baby, but Isaac was able to kill Ishmael, sorry. Ishmael was able to kill Isaac. That's why Sarah, when she noticed that Ishmael is planning to kill Isaac, he said, Abraham, this is too much now. Ishmael must go. You must come to that stage in your life where you have to say, this is it today. Ishmael must die. Because if you keep entertaining Ishmael, he's just going to kill your Isaac. Yeah. Amen. Amen. If you keep entertaining, if you keep being, you know, sympathetic to Ishmael, the result will be he is going to kill your new birds. Amen. They can't coexist together. Amen. We are going to stop there. I'm gone 5 minutes. 5 minutes beyond my time. So we are done for today. By God's grace, we believe that it's going to help you. There's so many things that we can still say on this topic, but the Holy Spirit is there to teach you more. And whatever was not said here, in the spirit of prayer and meditation, God will reveal you more. Amen. God bless you, Sister Acacia, and your husband. That's Sister Benita's sister. She got married recently in England. We went to the wedding recently there. Okay. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for being in our midst again and granting us this great opportunity to meditate about these riches of your kingdom. Bless your children for sitting quietly and enjoying the preaching of the word. And we believe that the same spirit will take us through the remainder of the service. You'll bless everyone according to their needs, O Lord. Bless our pastor as he'll stand to speak from you and answer our every one of our requests, O Lord. We commit now the service into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.